Hi everyone, and welcome to our first official podcast for 2019. Here at Breakaway Tuition in Mittagong, we are so excited to be able to connect with our lovely community in the Southern Highlands and everyone who's tuning in around the region. We're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves first and have a little bit of a talk about our roles in the business and our teaching experience. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Alicia Griffiths. I'm owner and director here at Breakaway Tuition, and I'm also the head tutor for our centre and teach students from kindergarten through to high school, TAFE, university and beyond. I'm a qualified secondary teacher, and I've had 8 years of teaching around the region to complement what we're trying to do in this business. But Breakaway Tuition is my dream. It's my baby. It's everything that I've wanted to do for a very long time. And I did it. So we've been around since the beginning of 2016, entering the beginning of our third year, which is very exciting. We've had lots and lots of different changes around the way. Basically, what we're trying to do is make sure that there is tutoring and educational assistance in the area for all of our families. I also have my other tutor here, Katie Todd, and I'll get her to introduce herself.
Hi everyone. Yes, I'm Katie. I'm also a tutor here at Breakaway Tuition. I'm a qualified teacher, but in the primary sector, so definitely enjoying teaching the little ones, but also enjoying extending them as they continue on to high school. I've had 5 years classroom experience, and now enjoying having that one-on-one time with the kids here at Breakaway Tuition in Mittagong. In addition to teaching, I also work on the admin side of the business and enjoy bringing a number of different projects to life. My role is to use my classroom experience in the creation of assessments, educational resources, and continuing the development of our staff and the centre itself. So, Alicia, this year you're adding another level to the business with the podcast and many other social media events, which is very exciting. What was the main reason for starting the podcast series?
I think part of the reason of starting the podcast is that just trying to get to our listeners, really. We've tried our social media for a while. We've tried websites, and we're still just struggling to get that engagement. And I've listened to lots of podcasts over the last few years, and I find them really easy to listen to. I get lots and lots of information from them, and I don't actually need to be sitting down having a conversation face-to-face with someone. So I'm just hoping that we can get into you guys, our community, to give you a little bit more background of what we do, but also help you to understand that there are lots of different educational facets and pieces, bits and pieces that you really want to be looking at and focusing on for your child.
It's definitely exciting. I think it's a great way to actually invite our community inside the walls of Breakaway Tuition. We are a little bit tucked away, and I think people would really enjoy seeing what is tuition like, what do the kids enjoy, and what do the parents take away and back into their actual homes. Is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to for this year? 2019 has just crept up upon us. It's absolutely crazy. But what are you looking forward to for this year?
Oh, so many things. I've got so many plans on the back burner. Actually starting to get through them. That's one of them, isn't it?
Lots of projects.
But see, sometimes we sort of say that we want to do this, this and this, but we never actually do it.
Yeah, we get too excited, I think.
But see, just getting excited about it. But yeah, basically just trying to let you know that we're here.
Absolutely. As a new tutor starting late last year, I can definitely say this is an environment that I'd love to see more of our community experience. We really do have an amazing group of teachers working within the centre with an incredible level of talent. There's honestly such a diverse level of skill set here, which is inspiring for our kids and adults alike. In terms of the podcast, though, there's definitely a few of us behind the curtain with hidden talents, and it's going to be great to introduce our staff members to the community in future podcasts. So everyone be out on the lookout for some different names on that screen and on the mic as well.
That's it. We're absolutely so blown away to have the level of talent that we do have in this centre. And our community is super lucky to have talented individuals here to help you and help your children as well.
So let's make a start, everyone. Over our first few podcasts, we're going to be discussing everything around preparing for kindergarten and answering the common and not so common questions for parents. So as we begin our very first podcast, take a moment for yourself, make that cup of tea, and feel free to write down any questions that may pop into your head.
We'll provide you with our contact details at the end to get those questions answered for you. I do think that it is great to hear what other parents are thinking and also hear from any mums, dads and carers that might have their own tips and tricks. We'll love to share them around with everyone.
Definitely. So we're going to break down today's podcast into three mini topics, and that's including creating routine, making learning fun, and also dealing with nerves and separation anxiety early on. This is very useful for some families this time of year.
That's right. As we know, it can be a time of worry, confusion, and fear for a lot of children and definitely some of the parents. It's important, though, to remember that, yes, this is completely normal and it's all a part of the experience that is going to be big school for the first time. Remember that, although we are discussing kindergarten specifically, lots of these tips and tricks are useful for children of all ages, even as big as the high school kids.
So our first topic is creating routine. It's really important to remember that these routines are absolutely personal to you and your family. These are your kids, your house, so the routine should really be 100% personal to you. The aim is to also never compare yourself to other families and what they're doing. Honestly, everyone, we really are so different, and that's what makes this world fun. So when it comes to routines, it's your kids, your house. We are simply here to give you tips on how to go about choosing the right routine.
So the first element we're going to look at is the routine simplistic? Is it easy enough for all the members of your family to jump on board and work together? Because that is super important that everyone is working together for the same goal. When you're choosing a routine, think about the elements of or steps that you want to include and whether this will be too little or too much guidance for you and your little one to work with. The second element is the routine achievable? Can it actually be done from start to finish, or will it fail due to lack of time? We don't want to automatically make our morning routine difficult to achieve.
That's right. The last thing you want is to automatically set the child up to fail because we set the bar too high. It can become like a list of chores with no ending point, really. And we just want to make it more enjoyable and definitely worthy of their attention. It has to be achievable.
That's right. Now, lastly, we have the logical side of things. Does it make sense in your home? Will it work for your own personal home layout?
That's a good point. I think it's a great time to think about where certain rooms and belongings are in your home before you consider the order of events. And that's where you can definitely implement those parent time-saving hacks. You mentioned the house layout. So what we're talking about there is it easy for my son or daughter to go from the bedroom, bathroom, kitchen, or am I sending them back and forth creating those distractions? What is the best path for your morning routine in your house?
So let's look at an example here. This is from a website called Stuck On You, and their blog is all about living a more organized life. This is just one of the many colorful resources on offer, but definitely important to keep in mind that this is just an example, and we'll talk about how to find a great one for you and for your family.
So you might be thinking, what's the big fuss on routine posters? Do they actually work? Well, the reason we are focused on this today is because I hear a lot of parents say, oh, well, I've tried those charts, but we stopped using them. Meaning it didn't really work, but the things are still chaotic, aren't they? But if you find a goodie, that can be an absolute lifesaver, in my opinion. This particular pair of graphic organizers that I found is a great way to start because of the visual layout and honestly the fun that comes with it for kids. Up the top, we can see on both posters, we have a before and an after school, very clearly stating when. Through the center, we've got our tasks and our jobs that we need to work through. And on either side, we have some boxes that we can check off. Now, if you're a person who's thinking, oh, no one's got time for that, well, if we teach our kids how to tick it off, how to stick with it, routines can honestly become part of your smoother, more productive morning.
Can you find one for adults and parents too?
I was thinking that as I wrote this, actually.
I think I need it.
I'll send you one.
So as a parent, I know that things aren't as easy as everything seems, especially when we're given these ideas to run with. But for me, I think that starting a routine and time management skills, they're really, really great for children to learn while they're young. So I think this is a great one to start with. And I think that it's really important that you have your routine down pat before school actually starts too.
That's right. Now, you'll also notice a good routine has the use of words and pictures. This particular routine chart does have some cutesy images. It's very engaging for young children, of course, but if you can sense that your child would benefit from some more realistic images, there definitely are resources out there with photographs and more obvious pictures of the task at hand, even symbols, really.
Good point, Katie. I'm thinking that even for, you know, the older kids, the high school kids even, that a routine layout or, you know, checklist is really going to help them to settle in as well. So, you know, there's so many resources out there. We want to try and find something that is used for us, but if you just type, you know, into Google search or Pinterest, if you're familiar with that one, using words such as the morning routine for children, afternoon routine post for kids, morning routine with pictures, morning checklist, you know, you're going to find stacks and stacks of options to choose from. Often they're editable as well, so you can make them fit your family, remembering that not every family is the same. Actually, no family is the same.
That's right.
And you're going to create a poster that is going to work best for you.
Yeah, just for you. Yes, there's certainly a huge choice when it comes to these posters, but I actually had a lot of fun seeing what was out there and what they can actually offer our families in the community. They're always so colourful, definitely engaging. It's more on the fun side with these tips, and which just makes it less overwhelming for everyone.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Katie. So when it comes to ticking off boxes and checking things off and giving out rewards, what would you say is useful to think about when potentially using this type of reward system?
There are definitely families who believe that kids shouldn't be rewarded in the way that they just have to do things in life, that's their responsibility. In some ways, I do respect that. I understand the value in teaching responsibility in that manner. However, there is a part of me that I think it's the primary school teacher in me that believes that children really do need to be taught that hard work and application do reap a reward. Just like we have jobs, we get paid, we have that reward system really in adult life. It really is common for schools and classrooms to have a range of incentive programs. So to get your child ready for work reward process, this may be very beneficial. I think the main thing when implementing these resources is to think about how much time you can invest and how willing you are when you are teaching your child to follow such a routine. And if there's a physical reward, can you follow through with those rewards and also give them the time and attention they deserve? We'll start with stickers, for example. These are a common use for a tangible reward that they can look forward to choosing, placing on their chart. And honestly, we know they become quite proud of their efforts and they love to show their stickers off when there's visitors in the house and so on. But with any reward, we can't rush the process. We can't discount it. So parents, we definitely need to follow through with letting our kids choose the sticker. We need to teach them where to place it and always refer back to their achievements because they're so important to them. And one of the biggest mistakes we can make is actually rushing the reward and making it unimportant. So our attitude towards the reward shows how much value we've placed on the actual task at hand. Put simply, if mummy or daddy doesn't care about the sticker, they will most likely not care about getting ready. So it's definitely a two-way street of control when it comes to little people and their rewards.
I think that, you know, reward systems and things can also work well for, you know, older primary school kids and even high school kids.
Definitely.
I mean, the rewards are going to be different. You know, a kid that's in year nine isn't particularly going to be happy about a sticker.
They're not going to want a gold star. And I think we can actually go from tangible resources to activities-based and experience-based, whether it be, you know, going down to do some rock climbing or fishing with dad, a movie with mum, and it's just giving them their control in their life.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, we think that by the time our kids reach high school that they have it all together and we think that they'll be able to do it.
That's right.
But, you know,
they're still so young. And yeah. I think this actually sets them up for understanding what their first job will be like, understanding the value in actually applying their efforts, and definitely looking forward to a reward system as they grow up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, back with the morning routine, you know, high school kids need a routine too.
That's right. They won't admit it, but they thrive off routine.
Well, everyone
yes,
does.
Yes, that's right. They will argue it, everyone.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so our next topic we're going to have a bit of a chat about is about making learning fun. And the popular question that we always get asked as teachers, what should my child know before kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready? And what am I going to do to make them more attentive? Put simply, if you're wanting to boost a child's readiness for school, there can be two major styles of learning that you can focus on during the first few weeks that we have left.
That's right. So we've got a slide here we're going to look at together. Now, on your left, we have a heading which says learning about, and on the right, we have learning to. These actions are very different. The box in the pink that we can see focuses on the content of kindergarten. This is what the what they're learning about, the topics. Maths, English, creative arts, sport, we know there are many. Whereas the second box in blue, we're looking at what the child is learning to do. These are the skills such as listening, looking, sharing, asking, and so on. Each box helping the other.
I think that sometimes as parents we don't understand the learning abouts and learning twos either. We just assume that that's what they're going to school to do.
That's right. And often we think that the teacher will sort of take care of everything and that's what they're there to teach. But we can actually start at home and before kindergarten starts. So they really do learn off their first teacher, which is the parent. Yeah. Mum and dad or the carer, that's their very first teacher.
That's so, it. Yeah. And I think that we often overlook that as parents. We don't see ourselves as a teacher. And
definitely.
So we aren't looking for these particular things.
That's right.
We do them automatically, a lot of them though. So when we're thinking about what your child might need to practice, think about some of the skills that you believe that your child would benefit from practicing. So what do they need to learn about? What do they need to learn how to do? Can they listen and look? Can they share and forgive? Can they ask and wait their turn? Often it is the learning two skills that are more beneficial before starting kindergarten because they really do help the child in retaining the learning about section. Good listeners retain information. Students who wait their turn and share may find social situations lots easier.
Absolutely. As a kindergarten teacher, year one teacher and even year four, I can definitely say that the skills such as sharing, being patient, being honest, and being able to forgive and apologise, those are the things that create just a well-rounded student. And honestly, we'd rather have that coming into the door in the first week of kindergarten than having just a student who is focused on just numbers, just letters, colours and all those lovely things.
That's right.
So perfect mix. Yeah. Happy teacher.
That's it. And I think that we think that the teachers are just going to teach those subject topics. They're just going to teach the maths. They're just going to do the English and things as well. And I think that's something that lots of people don't realise is that
absolutely
everything comes in together,
definitely,
especially when we're looking at a classroom situation.
Definitely holistic, yeah. Now, our last topic is an important one. We're now going to look at dealing with nerves and separation anxiety in kindergarten students. First of all, it's important to understand the difference and then how to help our children, depending on how they're feeling. This can help you and your family manage some of the feelings of anxiety before school starts to make their experience more enjoyable.
Oh, this is a big one.
It is a big one.
You know, we're all worried and we're all anxious when our kids are just starting school and it's the same, you know, starting year seven, it's exactly the same thing. First, let's talk about nerves. About school itself, okay? So when a child can be so excited about school or curious about school, it heightens our feelings and it can turn them into nervousness or worry as well. So although your child might be really excited, underneath it's hiding those anxieties and those nerves that might be associated with that. And it can also become really overwhelming for young children when they have very little concept of how long 3 weeks can feel like. And then it might feel like months for those little guys when, you know, they're waiting for the school to start. And even keeping in mind there that, you know, a 10-week term, you know, is a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a kid.
It feels like a lifetime. And that's actually one of the things that we do teach them in kindergarten. In the first term, it's, you know, what does certain lengths of time feel like? So the fact that that's one of the first things they're going to learn gives us a huge pointer towards this anxiety feeling. They have no idea how long it is to wait, and it can create that pit in their stomach, the butterflies, and it becomes constant. So as adults, we know what anxiety feels like. Imagine being so small and not having the answers.
Yeah, definitely. So the questions that they might start to ask might become a bit, you know, obsessive in a way. It can be seen here in the blue. you know, curiosity is going to turn into the demand to know everything and become very, very specific and want to know those specifics as well. It can be hard for parents as we don't know all the answers, and often we don't want to guess. We don't want to tell our young ones the wrong answer either. But when that happens, you know, when we say that we don't know, you know, when we say that I don't know, you have to wait and see or something similar,
it kind of shuts them down. I think it unintentionally stomps on their curiosity, and we don't want to stop that. We want them to be happily curious, happily excited. So I think the best way to think about that is, how can we as parents support their curiosity, and how can we transform that into happy feelings and take away the butterflies?
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to look at the feeling on the right, and this is anxiety in regards to leaving the home. So leaving mum and dad, their main carer, nan, auntie, whoever. To them, they are so fearful of being without their parents and caregivers that school has actually become the end of the world to them. It is doomsday, honestly. And I mean, often children can stay quiet. They may not exhibit these behaviours. They may not want to discuss going to big school whatsoever because it's so frightening. They may continuously ask questions like, why do I have to go? Am I going to have friends? And they're also starting to think about the worst scenarios that could arise. They start to ask questions like, what if I get lost? What if I get hurt? And leading to those scenarios, that is anxiety. It's thinking about the worst thing that can happen, and not even allowing those positive thoughts to really enter our mind. It just overwhelms us and it takes control, doesn't it, Alicia?
Yeah, and I think as, you know, younger students as well, they don't, although they've got more skills to tell you as a parent how they're feeling, they don't necessarily know how to voice it in particular.
Or know why it's happening as well,
yeah. That's right. And, you know, as parents, we sort of want our kids to feel like they can ask us those questions rather than we're just brushing them off all the time.
That's right, yeah.
So what can we do for our little ones then?
Well, keeping in mind that if your little one is actually exhibiting these behaviours, it is absolutely normal, and please, it is no cause for concern, parents. It is, once again, all part of the process of going to big school, going to kindergarten. It really should be a happy time, but this is normal. So to help our children with their school nerves, we need to think about the fact that it all comes down to the unknown. They are worried because the parts of the school, they become a mystery to them, and they begin to forget their orientation days. It all becomes a blur. They forget where their classroom is. They may forget the selection of teachers they were shown. They even forget their buddy that they were introduced to. So when we don't have the answers, we can actually combat the unknown with mirrored excitement. So we're going to turn the questions into moments that we can join in with them and their excitement levels. So we're going to have fun together by extending their questions. For example, such as an open question like, what will my classroom look like? We can further support that by simply turning into a conversation. As a parent, you can ask them questions like, what would you like to see in your new classroom? I wonder what fun games you'll be able to play this year. I'm so excited that you get to play sport with lots of new friends. So we're putting lots of positives. We're opening up that conversation, that dialogue to them. And as we know kids love to talk. We're going to allow them to do that. That's their passion.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
That's right. These parent responses really do relax our children, and we can turn anxiety into a shared excitement and definitely an acceptance for change.
Yeah, I think that's a big one for older kids too. I think that lots of our kids get nervous about going back to school. They get anxious about all the things associated with that as well. So if your child struggles with social situations to begin with, even as early as 2 weeks before school starts, they're going to start becoming nervous and anxious about everything from their new classmates to the amount of homework that they're going to receive and even who their teacher will be for their different subjects.
Now, I know that you're a secondary teacher, I'm primary, we've got that perfect mix in here today. But I honestly, I'll admit, I do get stuck in the younger years sometimes. I say goodbye to my year six students, I wish them good luck on their farewell, but I actually forget how they would feel going to year seven. They've gone from the top of the school and right down to the bottom. They're learning everything once again. Everything is brand new. So for our parents, how could they notice this in an old child? You've got that experience there.
Yeah, I think that's very similar to how we see it displayed in our younger kids. In my experience, you might find that your child's moods might change dramatically. They might become agitated and show signs of anxiety as we recognize it as adults. It might even be your child shutting down emotionally.
Mm.
So that might cause a heightened response to situations that usually don't bother them, especially kids starting year seven, because it's a big change. It's different. They no longer have one teacher. They have up to seven or eight teachers. It's a new school.
Gosh, that's a lot of teachers, isn't it?
And it's new. It's huge. It's it's really hard. Even as a teacher going into a new school, you know, that's nervous enough. You've got to find your way around school too. So
that's right. And I guess in primary school, they're very much used to having almost one to three teachers at most. They've got that second mother figure, second father figure at school. It really, really is. So when they get to high school, it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of children feel a bit lost in that because they're used to seeing the same people all the time.
So, every day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So when you then have a different teacher for every different subject, and you potentially got different mixes of classmates for those subjects too, and you don't know you're back at the beginning, you don't know new people, you don't know, you might have a small group of friends, but you don't know who's going to be in your classes, that sort of heightens that. But we're actually going to go into that topic in our next podcast.
Oh, good. So you can teach me some things about the big kids.
Oh, definitely.
There we go.
So many things.
Okay. I think we're time's up, people. So
yeah, no. Thanks so much, Katie, for coming in today and having chat about primary school with us, especially kindergarten. I was so excited.
I know. They're so cute, aren't they?
I know. All the little kids come to
and the birds. Uniforms.
Yeah. We just want to thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you've received lots and lots of things to think about heading into these last few weeks of school. But also, we hope that you've got a little bit more confidence around preparing your family for the exciting times that lie ahead. It's a wonderful time of year, and we really want you to enjoy everything that it has to bring, and great preparation can make that all special.